From unsolved mysteries to unexplained phenomena, from comedy gold to relationship fails, Amazon Music's got the most ad-free top podcasts. Included with Prime. Download the Amazon Music app today.
And welcome to the Undercut Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Ellie Mae Taylor, and with F1 Academy almost halfway through its 2024 season, we thought we'd look back and review the past three rounds, all six races, this far. Joining me as ever are my two fellow podcast hosts, Timo Albers-Daly and Jesse Billington. How are you both?
Sweaty.
I'm not sweaty. I'm perfectly normal and not going to be gross about this at all straight away. I'm very good, thank you, and I've very much enjoyed the opening three rounds of F1 Academy.
I do have enjoyed the opening rounds of the F1 Academy, but it's also like 24 degrees in the UK, which is just sort of uncomfortable. Yeah. Well, we've probably got one somewhere. I could dig it out, but the problem is its background hum on a podcast recording is unprofessional, and I do not have a lovely flamenco-style fan like yours, Timo, which you sort of flutter as elegantly as a drag queen. Ellie Mae, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I was annoyingly going to bring my fan down with me, so we could have just been matching with our...
We'll have to coordinate for next time.
We will. But anyway, before we dive into each race, what have your been initial thoughts so of the season this far?
The cars are terrible. I'll get into this.
Cars are the main issue for me, because I obviously followed it quite closely last year and have spoken to a good few of the drivers before and know what they're capable of. I've seen what they've been doing in other categories, and it's frustrating then when you watch it and you compare it to something like F3, and F3 looks so much quicker, and you just think it needs that extra bit of oomph because these drivers are all really capable of doing something. It's going to be about showing and proving themselves, and it feels like it's still missing a bit of oomph. That being said, we have had some really nice bit of driving throughout the entire field in all three rounds so far, not just at the top of the field either, really at the back of them. You look at Saudi Arabia, which we'll get to in a minute, and you look at some of the battles towards the back of the field there for the last couple of points. You've had some great stuff there. You had that in Spain as well this weekend. So I think it's still very much building on what we had last year, and it's definitely improved, but I feel they're still missing that fundamental element with the car that they need to do something with it, even if it's not DRS, maybe push to bar something just to give that bit of oomph so that we can have a bit more wildness to it, because it does feel a bit... Oh, I'm trying to think of the category, but it reminds me of something where it just feels like we're nearly there, but we're not quite there yet. And I think that's something that you have with a category that is just starting out. It's not going to be all perfect, but it's because we know what these drivers are capable of that we want more for them. We've seen a lot of these drivers elsewhere. Whereas F3, it's always kind of chaos. I feel like we know less of them each year in a lot of ways. But if we just swapped over, we'd love F1 Academy even more if they had like F3 style cars or something close to that. Whereas the F3 drivers in the F1 Academy cars, that would also be slightly more interesting, I think, because you'd have to, I don't know, it would work more for me. So I'm feel like that's maybe something we'll get into later, but I quite enjoyed it. That's my initial thoughts. I'm trying to ramble too much. What did you think of it?
I mean, yeah, there's been a fair bit of action so far, some great overtaking moves up and down the field, but it is, like you said, lacking in some sort of oomph, some power. It just needs that little bit extra. But with our overall thoughts of the season this far out the way, Timo, would you like to give us a brief sort of overview of what went down in Jeddah, just to refresh us and the listeners' minds as it was now over 3 months ago?
That is the other problem I have for this. We need more races because the gaps between them were ridiculous. Qualifying-wise, in Saudi Arabia, we had Dorian Pin kind of flying out the gate to the double pole position. We had a wildcard driver of Rima Jafali. I'll do race one and we can talk about that, and then we can do race two afterwards. Dorian Pin had obviously claimed double pole position for the opening races. She went on to win with pulling in P2 and Maya Wurg in P3. Chloe Chambers in P4, very nicely for Haas. Bianca Bustamante in P5. Houseman P6. Nobles very nicely in P7 for a rookie driver, just kind of going for it's just really nice to see a rookie driver that far up, to be honest. And then Logan Foss in P8, Hamrock basically in P9, and Kerry Schreiner getting the last point in P10. But there was a bit of drama, which was quite interesting as this has developed throughout the rest of the season. We'll see with Löwenfoss being demoted P8 following a collision with her teammate from the year before, Neri Amati, which was an ambitious move at best. It was going into turn one, if I'm remembering correctly. And she just should have known better. She kind of just took her teammate, former teammate, out for no real reason and just didn't do anything for her at all. And you just think she's a driver with a bit of experience under her belt. She should have known a lot better there. Amaral Kabasian, Ruben Jafali, of all the places to make contact with each other and bring out a safety guard, they did it in Saudi Arabia. Not great for them. And as mentioned, Nobles, this is why I was happy about Nobles in P7. She put on an absolutely superb drive to keep Hamdra Okbasi behind her, because as we know from last year and from other categories, Hamdra Okbasi is just an absolute speed demon. So Nobles just being calm and collected there to keep her behind for P7 was very nice indeed.
Yeah, the incident with Löwenfoss and Marty, it was unfortunate. It was almost that Löwenfoss didn't realise quite how much of a toe she was going to get with Marty, got too close to the back end of her. So then when she then went to go pull out to get round her for turn one, she ended up, obviously, clipping Marty and ending her race. But on a more positive note, like you said, kind of Hamdra Okbasi, I think despite not qualifying very high up on the order, actually, for me, she had a really great race in terms of sort of her overtaking moves and her general punchiness, which at the end got her into a points finishing position. So I actually, for me, she was the sort of almost standout of that race.
I'm going to test your memory here a minute, Jessie, because Löwenfoss, going back to her briefly, reminded me of what she did back in Texas last year. I can't remember with which driver it was, but you know, the kind of the last section of the track after they come off the long straight, there's the twisty section, and she had that overly ambitious move trying to get past, I think it was Bustamante, and just plowed on to the side of her and just kind of cut the track completely and just thought, oh, she's crashed into me. Like, no, you skipped two corners and drove into the side of another car. And it just, that was why I was frustrated with her here. And it's that, for me, I don't know if that bothered you as much for the same reason or if something else stood out to you there, but I was just kind of seeing if you could remember that.
Yeah, sort of almost that repeated action. You just sort of look at it and go, oh, did you not learn? And you I think ultimately you've got to treat
this as technically back-to-back races.
Yes, yeah. And equally, I think we have to, I don't want to treat this series with kid gloves. I want to treat it as critically as I would when someone would do that in F2 or F3 or F1, because ultimately, it's a motorsport. If you screw up, there's a lot at stake, including yours and someone else's life. So I think when you're getting those sort of mistakes starting to creep in, you're sort of looking at someone going, oh, that feels like something you should have probably walked away from the last time you did that, having learned probably not going to do that one again. So it's, yeah, it was a bit of an interesting one.
The second race of the season, though, against Saudi Arabia, we thought it was a carbon copy in some ways, but it wasn't, because we had one of the bizarre incidents, which in all of our combined years of watching motorsport, I don't think we've ever actually seen. Geraint pinned one on track, but she didn't really realise, because she was given a 20-second time penalty for racing an extra lap after having not noticed and not been informed that the checkered flag was waved, which this wasn't a Tim Cook kind of wave at Austin. This was a proper actual flag wave. Yeah, definitely contender for oddest moment of the year, and quite amusing in the post-race kind of interviews where they're kind of all in the green room, or whatever you want to call it, cool down room. And she goes, I didn't see the flag come out. I'm putting a screen and woman with flag. How did you not see that? I thought we kind of had a little bit of a talk about it at the time. It's a bit of a harsh penalty, but also you're not going to do that twice now, are you? So I kind of didn't mind that too much. So in the end, Pulling inherited the win. May work had another very strong race, finishing P2. Neri Marti had some very good bounce back in P3. Jess Edgar popped up into P4, which was nice, because I know that she was coming good at the end of last season. Handrock Basie, Bustamante, Schreiner, Amarok Basie, Pin, and Chambers made up the rest of the top 10. And in another bit of kind of karma, if we want to describe it that way, Löwenfoss DNF'd after being tagged by Chloe Chambers in the exact same spot that she took out Marty in the previous race. Löwenfoss then rejoined the track in what I can only describe as a quite frankly dangerous manner, and collected poor old Leah Block on the way as she did so, and Leah Block having to just about recover to P11. and Lauren Voss handed a 5-place grid penalty for Miami, which I'm glad they reminded us of in Miami, because by the time we got there, it was about 3 years later. Nobles and Jafali Sani DNF to the wild card. I suspect it didn't go quite the plan as we'd wanted to. And the reason Amna wasn't as far up as she should have been next to her sister was because she got a 5-second penalty for leaving the track and gaining an advantage, which I find quite interesting because the track limits in F1 Academy have been a little bit, well, as inconsistent as they have been in the rest of motorsport. It feels like it's kind of, some races are going to be very harsh on them, others less so. So poor old Amna just got the bad end of that stick on this occasion. But a fairly decent second race, I thought, and a nice kind of switch up of results.
On the track limits thing, it was Bustamante that was basically just constantly cutting a corner around Saudi. And I don't recall her ever getting like a penalty handed down. She might have got a black and white for it. But it was sort of that one on the fast back straight where you just sort of arrive at it and have to blind brake and left. And you can, if you want to, simply just cut it. And every time she came round, it was unfortunate the camera was already set to that corner. So you just had this sort of McLaren liveried car just whip through, bounce over the two sets of curbs and carry on. You're sort of looking at it going, that's not great. That's not what you want to see at this sort of very much also a showcase series, as much as it is a series that's a feeder series. It is one that's supposed to be putting on sort of a demonstration of the highest echelon you could possibly reach before you get F3 and F2. And you're sort of looking at going, the solution to this circuit is just cut the corners. Welcome to Mario Kart.
It's like we were saying at the top of this anyway, it's one of those things where they're trying to find that balance between we're starting off this series, is it the second season versus entertainment? What do we get away with? What do we not?
I don't think the entertainment should weigh into it. It's a motorsport series. It should follow the...
Well, entertainment in terms of... Well, yeah, it shouldn't, but look at Formula One today. It's more entertainment than sport.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, Carlos Sainz going, we have a rule book. I don't know why we follow it. But yeah, I think there is a line that has to be drawn at some point. And I think when you've got drivers almost seemingly willingly cutting a corner...
It's the age-old thing. And it's kind of Mark Webber put this perfectly a year or two ago, I think, especially in Austria. And Bahrain with Turn 4, he said about this, where drivers will do whatever they can get away with for as long as they can, because penalty, they'll risk a 5-second penalty because they can just go a bit quicker. Put a brick wall there or some gravel, they'll suddenly not start doing that anymore.
Mm.
And that's maybe just the easiest solution.
The thing is, though, like if you look at something like Austria and that turn that always gets drivers out, it's a case of that they're only going a little bit wide. She was just outright cutting.
Oh, yeah, no, she was very wide.
Yeah.
I think it's turn 10 at Austria or something, isn't it? It's the exit onto the final, onto the main straight, and everyone runs.
I think
it
this
a bit
one was
wide.
In Saudi, it was the corner where Mick crashed in the race a couple of years ago, I think. Not in qualifying, different race. Okay, maybe a different Haas then. But Haas crashed. Stroll. That's it. I knew it was something else that was relatively useless a couple of years ago. Where he kind of crashed last year or this year, I think. And it was this kind of fast sweeping left right. And she just decided to not bother with the track aspect of it and just go straight.
Possibly turns 15, 16, looking at the map. I think that's the one I'm after. Yeah. I thought Stroll crashed before that point, because it was the, can you bring the car
it could
back?
Have been a different,
no, I'm
year.
In the wall. Again,
yeah,
you're trying to ask me
one.
To specify a Lance Stroll crash. There's a lot.
Just going back to F1 Academy, just to...
good balance.
Yeah. Just to extend a bit further on Lovenfoss as well. She was sideways in the middle of the track, and before everyone had got past her, she began to move to get herself going again. And which then proceeded to go right in front of Block, who then essentially just had to T-bone her, which where she had nowhere to go. And it's like, you've been racing long enough now that you should not be doing that. You know you have to wait until everyone has gone past to then get out of the way.
Even if this was Nitro Cross, you can't hope that there's going to be a jump there for you to just, if you're Leah Block Holder, jump over this car that's in the way. You can't even rely on that here. So, and Lovenfoss should know that as well. So I don't know what she was thinking there. It's kind of this, it's this weird blend, like you're saying earlier, Jesse, of the, you don't treat it with a certain aspect, but you want to be harsh. But it's kind of like, you do have enough experience, you're not a complete novice at this, to not know some of the basic rules that you'd have in karting, say.
The majority of these drivers are well experienced when it comes to single seater racing, having sort of dabbled in sort of regional series and so on and so forth. So they understand the premise and the concept of it. And that's why it's almost infuriating when it sort of doesn't go right. But equally, I'd say the same of when I see it not go right in F3 and F2. So I think it's quite fair to make that as a statement. Like when you see sort of your Fittipaldis, your Hadjars, your Arons making sort of careless mistakes in F2, you're sort of annoyed because you're going, well, you should know better. You've made it to F2 by this point. And equally, similarly, but with a different aspect going into it, the same with F1 Academy is sort of, come on, you've got to this stage. Surely at this point, you know that when you're broadside on a circuit, you wait. You don't try and pull, like whip the car around in the middle of traffic. That doesn't end well. There are certain things that you expect the drivers to know at this point. At the same time, it's academy, it's learning. There is going to be an element of learning to it.
But it's more so from a safety perspective. It's a situation where you're very lucky that that was a slow corner that Block was coming to, because if she had T-boned her at in a, you know, a different series that carried a bit more speed, or a different corner where they carried a bit more speed, that could have been exceptionally dangerous and ended quite badly.
Yeah, at that point, you're getting cars going over aspects of cars. You're getting vehicles that are airborne. And at that point, it becomes quite an unpredictable crash. But
the last thing I'll say on it is the fact that the learning aspect, where it comes into it, is in the penalty. Because if it had just been something with, like, oh, yeah, she just didn't know how to do X, Y, or Z, she wouldn't have got too much of a penalty for it. But she got a pretty decent penalty for Miami at the next race for her actions there, going, yeah, it's a learning academy, but you should know this already. So nice try. You're not going to get away with that one.
Yeah, feels like a good point then to move into Miami and the next race on the calendar about four eons after the first. Unless you've got one final point, anyway.
Yes, I do. Thank you. The other bizarre moment that happened in that race was after the safety car ended that was brought out due to Tafali crashing when trying to avoid the spinning car of Shriner. Amaral Capaci ran slightly wide over the curb around, I think it's turn two, I'm not too sure, and it kind of just launched the car into Nobles, and it just took Nobles' rear wing off completely, and it just flew across the track. It's like, that's such a bizarre
thing. Seems flimsier than it should be.
Yeah. It just came clean off.
I had this in a Ligier JSF4 race over the weekend in Mid-Ohio. There was a car where it's like, what the hell happened to you? We didn't see anything, and its rear wing was just half off the whole way round. But yeah, weird incident to have, and maybe something to look at safety-wise, as much as that's maybe not the most invigorating conversation for a podcast, although I'm sure there is one out there. Miami, though, we got a completely different state of affairs, as Abby Pulling was the dominant driver in this round with double pole position. Courtney Prone stepped in as the wildcard driver, and a bit like Pin in the first race in Saudi, Abby Pulling was just dominant from lights to flag. Pin never really fought up for the win and just kind of settled P2. Brilliant battle, however, behind her for P3 between Chambers and Wurg, as well as Martin and Handrock Basie there, which I thought was proper edge of seat racing for the entirety of the race there, because you genuinely didn't know what was going on. It's kind of a shame that we could have had that up the front of the grid. It was for Formula One in that instance. Chambers, not really kind of surprising, but also surprising at the same time, made a Hamilton 2022 Silverstone-esque move in the end to secure P3 for herself. And in the process, amusingly claimed Haas's first ever podium, which there's more of her for later, but that's just, I just love that Haas have been around for so long, and then Chloe James comes along and like, are we getting podiums or wins or what? I'll just do that, shall I? Okay. Bustamante had pretty brilliant recovery drive after stalling on the grid. Antonelli might want to take notes. She impressed a lot by climbing back up into the points for that one. And Jess Edgar and Amaral Capaci just made the most of the chaos around them to get further into the points, which was awesome to see, because like we've said in other feeder series for the podcast, check our published works, you just have to be in the right place at the right time for a lot of the feeder series kind of thing, and just keep a cool head and make sure you're just not involved in any carnage, and you will just kind of naturally levitate up the order there. So despite the lack of anything happening out front, quite an interesting race.
For
Yeah.
me, Bustamante was sloppy here. I mean, she stalled on the grid and was subsequently last. She made up three places via failing to make a corner. I know she was subsequently penalised and given a 5 second penalty for going off the track and gaining a lasting advantage, but I may have let her off if it wasn't for the fact she kept missing the corners in Saudi as well, like we've just said. It's just, come on.
Also, wasn't one of the places she made up simply Tina Howson being wiped out turn one, lap one in Miami? Or am I remembering a different race? So,
Yeah, no, I mean, it again, it's kind of being in the right place at the right time, but again, it's kind of you still got to close up to the rest of the field a bit, and at least you're not just trailing behind by about a minute and a half.
I feel right place, right time works if a driver ahead of you goes off a little bit and you're able to make an advantage move through a corner. A driver wiping out isn't really right place, right time. That just sort of affects
I'm
everyone
looking at
pretty
it with a
equally.
long lens.
That's a very long lens. You're looking, that's like a 600 mil you're going through there. But yeah, I think maybe a pinch of salt.
On a more positive note, Chambers, I mean, first of all, her double overtake on Marti and Verb for fourth, taking advantage, of those two fighting and then sort of getting the double slipstream as a result. Great move. And then she had the three-way battle again on the penultimate lap to take third from Hamda Al-Qabeysi. There was some really great racing from her, and I'd even extend that to Verb and Marti for their great clean fighting as well.
Yeah, I think
Yeah, it's kind of
Chambers.
they all deserved that. It was just who would be there in the end, and it just kind of worked out. So you've got to time it perfectly, and it's kind of whilst you two are busy fighting each other, I'll just squeak on past here a little bit, like we've seen from other drivers in the past, not just Hamilton and Silverstone.
I mean, it's interesting you mentioned Hamilton at Silverstone because, of course, Chambers has met Hamilton before, and it was on a segment for the David Letterman show where she was pretty much the star of the segment. I think it was Hamilton just appearing on Letterman just as sort of like a talking piece, and they went off and did some sort of karting or sort of karting demonstrations, which involved Chloe Chambers, weirdly enough, and she apparently stole the segment. I need to actually look it up and give it a watch, but from what I've heard, it was sort of like the dawning of this sort of little bit of a protege, and I think certainly the performance we see in the round we're going to get to, she's really quite something actually, and has long been slept on. I think we made a mistake with that.
I'll agree on that.
I think, of course, she was reminding you from either last season or from W Series, but I'm going to come back to that later point, I think, because there's one of those other drivers where you're like, where's she come from? And you're like, she's been there the whole time doing pretty well, but you've just all been ignoring her for no apparent reasons. Second race, however, Abbie Pulling just made it two for two, stretched legs with the championship lead in the process, didn't look in too much trouble there either. She just kind of went off and did her thing. As mentioned, Bustamante got P2. She kept Pin at bay, which was quite nice to see because, again, if you get into second place, it's kind of, oh, which driver are you up against? And Dorian Pin, who you've got quite a bit of expectation from a driver there, and just you tried, couldn't do it though. Had a set of P3, which was quite refreshing to see this kind of this challenging. We didn't just need someone to take that to Abbie Pulling now in the same way that we needed someone to take that to Jimmy Chadwick in W Series, and we never quite got. So hopefully this happens this time. Chambers, another really strong outing. P4, easily one of the best drivers of the weekend. Work the Al-Qabeysi sisters and Marti all battling each other for P5 to around P8, which I've just written proper popcorn entertainment, which is all you really want for the feeder series at the end of the day. You kind of have your allegiances a little bit, but you don't mind too much as long as you get some great entertainment. And that's what this series really needs. As we said at the start of this, the cars are not quite there yet. So when we have something like this, it's really important, and it helps propel that all forward. And Schreiner on Block rounding at the top 10 with Block claiming her first point of the year on home soil, just an extra bit of niceness on top of that. So Block was one of these drivers, Ellie Mae, that we were intrigued about at the start of the season with virtually no single seater experience coming into this, very much a famously rally background. So for her to three races in with the giant gaps that we have between rounds to get a point, quite nice.
Yeah, she sort of had a bit of bad luck this season, and
Lola.
well, speaking of Lola, this was a poor race again from her. 2 10-second penalties. She's quickly becoming Ocon of
Was about to say, if
F3.
Chambers is looking to Hamilton, she's looking at Ocon, and the results are stacking up as expected there.
I mean, the first was because she locked up going into the first corner, I think, tagged Tina Howson, giving her a puncture. She then was out of the race. So the second, she made a late dive on Nobles in the last corner, hitting her, causing her to spin. Both drivers ended up falling back to the last two place positions. The first penalty, maybe a little unlucky, but the second, she was never gonna make that overtake work.
No, I think it was exactly the same thing for Saudi. It was ambitious to try and do it as late as she did, and then just kind of, yeah, just because you change venue doesn't mean that that same move is going to work. You can't just go, oh, I'm going to be Daniel Ricciardo and last of the late breakers. You've actually got to make the corner, get past cleanly, and get past so you can keep going for the rest of the race, not just, I'm going to drive into you.
Was that was the race as well where they then panned to Charlotte Tilbury herself.
Yes.
That's just her face. She was not amused.
I mean,
I
the
thought
camera's
so.
on your car if it's spinning around.
Whoever I just want to say whoever cut to Charlotte that moment gets an extra little $10 in their paycheck on the way, but very nicely done there. Good for you. Barcelona though, third and final round of the year so far, because it took us about 10 years to get to Barcelona in the end there, because again, we just need more races. I don't know why we can't have a few more of them. Abby Pulling again claiming pole position for both races. She's really settling into herself here. I feel like the potential that was promised to us with her in W Series is definitely coming to fruition now. After a bit of a weird season last year, she's definitely making up for it so far this year. The wild card drive for Spain though, which was a bit curious. I'm not sure why that was. It's not like there aren't any Spanish women racing. Thorin Pinn dropped down the order immediately as she had a terrible start off the line, which was interesting from kind of just a neutral's perspective with what we know about her and what we expect. But again,
However, I will say she's recovering from a bicycle cycling incident. How many racing drivers at the moment are recovering from cycling incidents?
again, a good
So,
advert to just
yeah,
not
not
cycle.
cycle.
And
But yeah, broken
I'm
ribs at the moment, not great.
no, and I'm just wondering if Antonelli's wishing he had a similar excuse. Marti, meanwhile, had an excellent start to the race, getting past Chambers and challenging Pulling for the lead into turn one. Maybe George Russell was watching her. Work unfortunately collided with Damner Al-Kubaisi into turn five on the first lap and took them both out, bringing out a pretty lengthy safety car.
Well, she only
Pulling.
collided with Amber because she'd collided with someone else, which broke one of her track rods. So she sort of completely lost steering. So basically, the car just went, we're going right. And she was like,
It was
which, so
Lovenfoss
it
that she
was
collided with.
unsurprisingly, yeah, a collision with
But it wasn't
Lovenfoss.
Lovenfoss's
Voss's
fault.
fault this time, admittedly. Yeah, this was Wog just fighting through the grid, really. Hadn't had a great qualifying. So arguably, she should have done better to have gotten herself out of position. I think she had a grid
She
penalty
did get a
coming into this.
penalty for that,
Yeah.
though, for the second race. Did work, so that didn't go too well. So that was kind of a shame because Emrah Kubeis again drove with a lot of potential and just out immediately, a little bit like Tina Housman in Miami. Pulling, well, she pulled away on the restart and went on to comfortably dominate, I must say, the race, and she won with the fastest lap as well. Marti finished on home soil in second place, which is just lovely to see because that's what you want. And at least Spain got something this weekend from them. I think got something F3 as well, but we're not talking about that. Chloe Chambers got a third place, another very solid drive from her. Bustamante hot on her heels in fourth, so that was nice to see that she was keeping her pace up from Miami. Pin was able to recover P7, but Edgar dropped down the order thanks to a 5 second penalty she received for a false start. A lot of those going around at the moment. And Lia Block again, P10, claiming the last point available, doubled her point haul in two races. So nice to see that it wasn't a one-off.
I will go back to Pan and say, despite her bad start, her overtakes I thought were bold. And by the end of the race, bearing in mind, you've got to remember Spain is a high deg track. She was lapping over a second quicker than everyone else. She put in a mighty performance.
I think
This is why it's that weird conversation that we were saying at the start about the cars need something, but then is it the drivers? Because you've got Pan doing something like this where you're like, well, it's doable, but then
It's
why isn't everyone
doable. I
doing it?
think Pan's advantage comes from endurance racing, where you often spend a lot of your time with your tires pretty much shot. You're just like, well, that's fine. I've got another 4 hours of this. So that's sort of a bit of her advantage going into this. And also at the same time, partly just the cars are a bit useless. Spain was the first race weekend I've seen in a long time where you could get a tow and actually be slower down the main straight of a circuit,
We had this in
which.
W Series when they went there. It was like, Come on, come on, come on, come on, come
You're
on, come
in
on.
the slipstream. How are you going slower? What is up? Why are you such a bad car? And maybe Toto Wolff should share some technical advice with Susie just to try and sort of make the car better. Just a little bit, something, anything. Stick them in historic Formula Fords. It would be closer and better, fairer racing, car-wise at least. But yeah, a little bit infuriating in that regard that we are sort of being deprived better racing and the drivers are being deprived of better opportunity because they're just useless cars.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, in some ways, like you said at the kind of start of this conversation, Timo, it's a bit of a chicken and egg situation because, yeah, you see what Pan did and how well she could cope. It's kind of like, well, is it half a dozen of
Six
one
and one half dozen the other. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a mixed thing. Although, as a big Dorian Powell fan, I have to say, first race, despite the bad start, really good from her. So, no notes from me there.
Second race, however, it wasn't Abby Pulling who won, which was a nice change just from a neutral perspective. As much as we enjoyed seeing kind of her dominance and Jamie Chadwick's dominance, it's nice when you actually get a bit of competition. Chloe Chambers, not too surprisingly, she snatched the lead away from her just immediately and then decided, I'm going to do this properly. And she went on to win by a whopping 7 seconds, making history as the first driver to win for Haas, which is just very Haas. Abby Pulling, she was kind of lucky to get second in the end after serious pressure from behind her from Neri Marti and Andrew Akwabasi. And kind of this weird, going back to Pan there, conversation of it's possible to race, but then when you're out of your first place dominant position, what can you do? And tyres maybe just went a little bit for Abby. She had some graining by the look of it. But again, you've got that's all part of the game. You're meant to be doing this unless than you would be if you were up in F1 or F2 or something like this. So Marti and Hamda just played a better game and she was lucky to get the second place there. So that was quite interesting. Hamda, as mentioned, finished third better in the end. Marti fourth in fifth. Leah Block finished in sixth, which was just tremendous. Bustamante was in seventh. Normally she got a 5 second entry for a false start. But down the back of the pack was where it was actually quite interesting and potentially more so than at the top for parts of it, which I'm just glad we got to see this as well, because this is half the problem that we talk about for Formula 3 is that you just don't get to see what's going on down in bottom 15 half the time. You had about six cars all fighting each other for the last point playing positions and basically tripping over one another in the process to find out who was going to claim it, which was just really nice because it shows that they all really do care about the points on offer there. And even if it's just 1 point, they know how much of a difference that can make. And if you're one of the drivers that hasn't scored yet this season or has not got very many points, you really, really want that. And this is your perfect chance to showcase. And it's where the two-season rule for F1 Academy comes in. It doesn't have to be 2 seasons back-to-back, but you're thinking, if I'm going to take a year out, I better have something good in this first season to show that I'm worthy of coming back in the second season, because just because you can doesn't mean you will. And if you want to be in there for that second consecutive season, you want the points on the board so that you can hopefully stay and get a better position within the team there. So I think possibly the best race of the year so far, despite the weird criticisms we have of Barcelona 4 FM Academy.
Yeah, I think certainly with the scrapping down at the back end of the field is shown by the fact that pretty much all the regular drivers in the field have points. The lowest scoring at the moment is 6 points for Aurelien Nobels. So it's a really sort of tightly fought season. And that scrapping and the TV direction for it certainly is great because it means you actually get to see the action. I think Abby's problems started when she tried to chase down Chambers, but in the dirty air behind it, those cars immediately just lose all downforce and it just starts to obliterate the tyres. There's nothing pushing them into the tarmac. So it starts to slide, it starts to scrub. And if you look at some of the static camera angles from the circuit, you can see that the cars are slithering around a lot, even through the faster turns. The car has this natural propensity to slide. You don't have quite so much steering lock on because you've done a lot of the work early on the throttle. And the rear view cameras from all the cars, you could see chunks coming off the tires towards the end of that race. So it was very much a race driven by tire management. And Chambers, once she had the lead, was able to manage it so much better. And that's where she was able to pull out that huge lead. Equally, great first win for Haas. Also, it's a home win for Campos as well. So it's sort of a double sort of triple whammy, really, a first win for Chambers, first win for Haas, and a home win for Campos, their sort of second home win that weekend in a feeder series. So yeah, really great time for them.
Yeah, I've kind of just got the same notes as you guys. Chambers, fantastic in this race. Pulling was really struggling with a tyre, so Chambers, you know, was just creating a bigger and bigger gap between the two. And as well, with that sort of fight down at the bottom of the grid near the end of the race, I agree. And I sort of picked out Maya Vogt as sort of one that stood out for me there, because, you know, even despite her being at the back of the pack, she got punchy near the end with, and I think she ended up making sort of two overtakes that I thought, that's not bad, you know, considering.
Yeah, she got back up to P13 in the end out of, okay, P13 because you've had a couple of retirements, or at least one retirement, but still, it's, oh no, no retirements. And I did manage to recover by the look of it. Yeah, no, sorry, I'm getting all of that wrong. We can cut all of that out. Ignore me.
Yeah, what was I going to say?
Just sort of the punchiness in general and the sort of willingness to race is really good. And it does actually make for a very entertaining series, which is sort of almost at odds with the sort of cars supplied. But now we've got obviously Pulling at the top, running away with things, but Pan and Chambers are tied on points in second and third. I think Pan wins on countback because she's got P2. But other than that, they are neck and neck on 81 points, according to my notes. And then there's a bit of a gap back to Marty on 63. Bustamante, Hamda Alkabasi, and Virga all pretty close on sort of in the 50s, 57, 55, and 51 points. So it's a really exciting and tight series. And the fact that certainly for the likes of Leah Block, you could just sort of rock it up the order quite comfortably with a decent finish, going from 14th to 11th overall in the standings in the span of one weekend. So it's all still very much to play for.
And I think that's a good moment to go into now our sort of winners of the overall sort of season this far. So I'll open it up with Timo. Who's your winner?
I think Chloe Chambers, because if it wasn't for that 10th place in the second race in Jeddah, she would be a lot further up, which when you think about it, she's only in P3 on joint points with Dorian, is quite saying something. And I'd be intrigued to see if she'd got a third or a second place maybe in Jeddah, or even just a top five. It's still a big gap to Abby Pulling out front, but Abby Pulling only has to have one slightly off weekend, and that could really close up and keep things interesting there. So I think it's also this weird thing with Abby Pulling where she's a driver that realistically shouldn't be here. She should be in Freca already or in F3, doing that category, in the same way that Jimmy Chadwick just had to go through the motions, unfortunately, because there was nothing else available to her for nonsense reasons. So if we kind of take Abby Pulling out of it, she's fighting Dorian Pan for the lead of the championship, which I think is really great for her. And it's good for, it's going to sound like such a campaign thing, but it's good for America, because they need some good American drivers coming through. And when you kind of look back on American drivers, we don't have that many successful ones, and especially not in recent times. So for a woman to come out and kind of go, hello, I'm available, that's great to see. And if she doesn't go up the order further into F3 or F2, I know that Indy Next, IndyCar are always up for the new women to come into that, and Jamie Chadwick and Linsboro are proof of that at the moment. So maybe she can get some attention from Andretti and just kind of switch back there a little bit. So I'm quite happy with her, and it's just that P10 is frustrating.
Jesse, your winner?
My winner, I've got written down as the fairly obvious Abby Pulling, to be fair. I mean, in every other series, we bemoan it when you've got a driver that runs away with dominance. But obviously, you look at the likes of Hamilton and Verstappen doing that in F1, it's because they've had a car that's also enabled that. When you're able to run away with dominance in a spec series, it's a bit different. It really smacks of a driver that's able to maximise a car's capability and maximise a weekend. And for me, that's what Abby Pulling has sort of proven that she's able to do here, is go, I've got the same tools as the rest of you, but look what I can do. And when you're fighting to try and get the next level of your sort of motorsports career unlocked, when you're looking for those F3 seats, those Freca seats, hell, I think you could probably lob Abby Pulling at an F2C, and she might do better than Antonelli at this point.
And we've got to take into account as well her
yeah.
Formula, British Formula 4.
Yeah, GB4 at the moment as well. So she's sort of double hatting, but not overstretching herself. She's putting together an absolute worldie of a season. I just think there is a lot to be really admired, and the fact that she's a conscientious racer, she's a really good personality on and off the track. I think that's really embodied. If you look at the podium from Czech's notes, the second race in Barcelona, where she and Chambers pause for a second so Hamda can get out of the way for the champagne spray, because of course, Islamic, she can't really sort of deal with alcohol. So the general persona and personality and respect that Abbey Pulling has is absolutely world class at the moment, and I think that it's a talent that I really hope we see move up the ranks soon. So when
Yeah,
it comes to your winner.
I mean, I was just going to add on that Abby Pulling, well, she's either come first or second, but and that's, impressive.
There's only she's got the fastest lap in most races and pole in most races, so she's kind of just it's a smattering. Dorian Pin's got pole twice and a fastest lap. Probably James has a fastest lap, and Bianca Bustamante's got a fastest lap. Everyone else has nothing on pole or fastest laps. It's all just Abbey Pulling.
Yeah.
And she's got her. Where did she? Well, she won, didn't she, with Formula 4, but I don't know where.
Yeah, she did win an F4 race earlier this
It's a sprint
season.
race in either Silverstone or Alton Park, I think.
Checks notes,
Probably somewhere
2024.
completely
It
different now.
was. It was. It was. It was.
I should. I'm start naming places.
I can't find it off the top of my head, unless which one's oh no, there it is. Yeah, it was at Brands Hatch.
Georgia.
Well, I'll move into my winner then, and I've gone for Hamda Al-Qabeisi. I think despite the fact she didn't qualify too high up at the start of the season in Jeddah, her racecraft has been fantastic to see. She's clean, but she's fair in battles. Her overtakes are very good, and she just seems to sort of be building upon that every single race.
Yeah, he's also only one of five drivers to have scored in every single race this year, which is just a neat little tidbit.
Impressive feat to have. We'll move on to the not so good part, which is who we think is, or perhaps should be doing better so far. So it's with Tough Love, Timo. Here's your spinner.
Gotta be Lola Lovenfoss for me because she knows better. I think that's the most frustrating for me. I feel like I've somehow adopted a French child and I'm like, come on, do better with yourself. We know what you've done before, we know you can do it. And at this point last year, she already had a podium. She was T10 in the standings. She was doing all right for herself. And she's all the way down in P14. She's at the moment, she's had a retirement, which was karma, quite frankly. And she's only had three other points playing positions, her highest being P8 that she got in Jeddah. And just not what you want from driver in their second year that's hoping to make it somewhere. It's kind of, we look at the top three in the standings each year, supposedly that's what we're supposed to do, and then go, okay, you guys can go off somewhere. What about the rest of them who have had two seasons but have been fairly decent? So you're looking like your poor P4, 5, 6 maybe. And when you're down P14 in your second season, you've got to have some pretty extenuating circumstances to talk your way out of that. You've got to either have some really bad luck, or you've got to have a just really great spin doctor to try and talk your way out of it. And she doesn't really have either of those at the moment. It feels like she just needs to really get herself out of this rut. And Zandvoort is a long way off, so hopefully she can get some seat time between now and then to try and sort things out. Singapore, we went there last year, I think. So she should be okay with that. Qatar and Abu Dhabi are going to be very difficult, but again, it's this kind of thing of you've got to just do the best of what you can, and it kind of just needs to be better. She did well last year. I mean, she did get another couple of podiums last year, so it's doable. She knows she got it in her, but it's just not manifesting right now, and it's quite frustrating.
I know we didn't go to Singapore last year. We did it in the final year of W
W
Series just before the
Series.
money
Where
ran
the
out.
hell did we go last? Oh yeah, I think we had too much talk of last year. We were still thinking about it last year and we didn't.
Last year was Red Bull Ring, Ricardo Tormo, Catalunya,
Yeah.
Zandvoort, Monza, Paul Ricard, and then eventually joined up with F1 Canada first circuit of the Americas.
That was it. Anyway, she'll still be fine in Singapore. That's what I've got to say.
We'll see.
I've kind of gone for the same sentiments with Bianca Bustamante. I expect more from her, from how she's, you know, she's been, for how long she's been around now, she's making too many mistakes. She's missing corners. She's completely cutting them off too many times. She's stalled. She's had a jump start. I want to see more of her second race at Miami where she got second. She shows she can do it. This is me giving her sort of tough love and saying, you're making too many mistakes. You need to do better.
She's a decent racer. She's just messy.
I think the thing I'll say, and that one just to carry, because the stuff you say is fair. I think it feels like she's been around longer than she has because she's just so good at nailing the marketing side of things that you just see more of her. She has more of a presence than all of the other drivers combined, it feels like. And that's great for many other reasons, but again, it kind of, and maybe it lets her get away with some of her on-track mistakes a bit more than it would, than she would if she was someone down the bottom of the pack, maybe. But I think it doesn't feel like she's been around all that long for me in some ways, but I don't know, maybe time is passing at different rates for us, but I think it's just this whole, you see more of her, so it feels like you have a longer relationship with her than you do with someone where you don't see them for 6 months, and then they pop back up again.
I mean, she was around for W Series in 22. She did F1 Academy last year as well, which is worth remembering. Mm. So this year is her sort of crunch time for her. This is where we need to start seeing that sort of top-level performance really creeping.
Well, it's the same for Hamdra Al-Qubaisi, which when you look at her, she's above Hamdra in the standings at the moment by a couple of points. So that's quite interesting as well. They've had pretty similar results. It's just the second place, I think, in the fastest lap that she got in Miami that's eked out her pace there ahead of Hamdra. But yeah, it's kind of, for drivers in the second season, like I was saying, you need that extra bit of something to kind of help you on your way if you're not going to be in that top three come the season end.
But I think, just to end my point before I go to Jesse for his spinner, it's the fact that, you know, there are drivers that, you know, to take your argument, Timo, that she hasn't been around for too long, there are drivers that haven't been around as long as her that are not making as many mistakes as her.
Mm.
So that's kind of why I expect more from her. But
I think I'm just suffering from Daniel Ricciardo syndrome again. Of I like the driver, and I must channel my inner Jedi and not let personal attachments get in the way.
But Jesse, we'll go with your spinner.
Tina Housman. I think, again, this falls under the category of just expecting a bit more, and especially when you've got the driver backing of Aston Martin, you've got the direct coaching of Jess Hawkins. There's sort of been this big fanfare behind the support that Aston Martin and development that the team have been putting into her. But it just hasn't, for me, translated into anything particularly dynamic on track. And I think it's been a bit hampered by that performance in Miami, which was a bit at the best of times. It wasn't sort of strong. And I think ultimately it wasn't really her fault, but ultimately
two DNFs by being driven into.
You put yourself in those situations, you sort of make your own luck as much as you like to say. And equally, you've got to be in those when the luck is good, you've got to put yourself in those scenarios. And when the luck is bad, chance are you put yourself in them too. That sort of is a double-sided coin or a sword of two edges. So it's, yeah, I think I'd argue she's a driver I want to see more from, more so than a spinner, I think would be a fair way of putting it.
Yeah, because I would have said she had more bad luck than anything, because she had mechanical problems in the second race in Jeddah. Her and Nobles made contact, which put her in the wall, and I wouldn't say that was entirely her fault for the first race in Miami. And then the second race in Miami, Lovenfoss tagged her immediately and gave her a puncture, causing another DNF, and that definitely wasn't her fault.
Yeah, so very much a driver I want to see more of, which is my case. And that's the fact is we've seen two-thirds less of her than we have everyone else on the grid, with the exception of the wild cards. So yeah, I'm waiting to see something good from her. So she's not really a spinner for me, but she's a driver I want to see more from, which I think is different to drivers worth a mention, certainly.
Yeah, because I think Neri Marti's another one of these drivers, a bit like Chloe Chambers, where if it wasn't for that one result that didn't quite pan out, she would be really right up there. And there's still plenty of time for her to be up there. And again, that P14 DNF in Jeddah is not in any way her fault. She's just traveling along, minding her own business, and Lola Lovovich just decides no. And she's on 63 points. If it wasn't for that, I mean, looking at the rest of her results, her lowest result is P7, which means consistently in the points, consistently in the top five. You put a fourth or a third or a fifth even in there, and she's well up there battling Dorian Pin and Chloe Chambers. And yeah, I think she's got a lot of potential. Again, it's one of those drivers where if Abbey Pulling has an off weekend, which is very doable, you never know, especially at somewhere like Singapore or Qatar, where the conditions or the track that might catch you out. You just need to be in the right place at the right time, a bit of it. That's a lot of where the PC is coming into it, as we always touch on. I think she could be well up there, and who knows, maybe she can try and pinch P2 by the end of the season if I haven't cursed her, which I really hope I don't, because I think she could go quite far. And it's one of these drivers where I'm not sure where she ends up in the future, because you look at, it's got to be these perfect candidates. You've got to have a Jamie Chadwick and Marta Garcia and Abbey Pulling to even get to F3 or F2, never mind F1. Where does someone who's still really good, like Neri Marti or Chloe Chambers, where do they go? And you don't want them to lose out just because they're not bulletproof like Max Verstappen.
Give him a wax seat.
I know, but I want nothing against it, but I just want more for them.
Yeah, we want F1 Academy to work, that it gives them
I want them to at least get into F3 or F2
F3 and
so that you
F2.
can show that they're still worthy of it. And then if they go somewhere else afterwards, fair enough, they've been given a chance to at least see if they can do what it takes. It's kind of my argument with Flersch. I like to see her in F3. I want to see her in F2 just because we've had drivers do worse than her, get promoted, and do quite well in F2. So why not do the same? And just at the very least, you get some good marketing out of it. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But at least we gave them the opportunity. And that's all that we really want at the end of the day, is for it to be that level playing field, and someone's got to make the first move on that.
I'd argue that some of the F1 teams dropped the ball with Nerea Marti as well, not signing her on as their sort of sponsored driver. I'd argue that maybe there were
Although I'm quite
different
glad
choices
none of
being
them did,
made.
because we've got the Tommy Hilfiger livery and it is
It
gorgeous,
is
and I
a
love it so
very good
much.
looking
I
livery.
say
Yeah.
that it is beautiful. I would say another driver worth a mention as well is Maya Verg. She struggled somewhat in Barcelona, but the other 2 weekends she's been up there, and she's always had to fight for her positions, whether she's attacking or defending. And it's never been easy for her, and I think she's coped with it very well.
Yeah, I think certainly when you look at the seasons that all the Prema drivers are having, she's certainly having one that sits pretty much bang slap in the middle of sort of the lot of them. It's not F3 levels of Prema supremacy, but it's equally not F2 levels of Prema woe. She's somehow sort of struck the right balance of sort of having a good one, but equally the times when it gets rough have proven that she's able to really sort of muscle her way through and sort of show off a bit of that racing ability. You don't want to just be leading everything from the front because it's not exactly a great showcase of what you can do as a driver. It says you've got great one lap pace, but little besides. So for Verg, it's a great position to be in. But yeah, I think I'm waiting to see more. And but what I've seen so far, I do like.
I agree. And we'll go now into the championship standings. Jesse's pretty much run over the top five for the drivers, so I'll move on to the constructors. In first, we've currently got Roden with 176 points. In second, Campos with 153 points. Just behind them is Prema on 146. We've then got MP Motorsport in fourth with 76 points, and then ART with 73. And that's all we've got time for this edition of the Undercut podcast. Be sure to have liked, subscribed, and have notifications turned on so you don't miss any F1 or Feeder series content. In the meantime, Timo, where can the people find you?
You can find me over on Is It Fast, where I've got my Rally Jameel series out, which I kind of want to see Leah Block do, because you don't have to have any experience to do the Rally Jameel, but you can also have a lot of experience if you want to touch things up a bit. So I'd quite like her to convince all of the other drivers to go with her and go and do a rally in the deserts next year. So let's make that happen. But yeah, I've got an explainer article about what that's all about for you to read. And there's also a lot of interviews coming out over the next few weeks, including the one that's already out with Karina Monte there. So do go and check that out. She does some very cool stuff when she's not racing.
Jesse?
As usual, you can find me writing for Classic Car Weekly. I think by the time you read this, the latest issue will be out. It's got Ellie Mae and I going rallying in it. We've got a Frogger Sprite and a TR4 in a variety of different angles of slip, slide, and action across the weekend. And if not, you can follow me on social media at Jesse on Cars on Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. And hopefully I'll try and find some more content to put on Instagram, because I appreciate I'm in a weird slump at the moment between events. But Festival of Speed's coming up, so that will be up soon as well. Ellie Mae, in the meantime, where can people find you?
I never know where the people can find me, so I'll just surprise you and say thank you for listening, and we'll be back soon.